you saw these things. But anyway, it's always good to be in God's house. So many people sick and going through trials of life. Today I'm going to share some things with y'all that's very important in our life. And you know, Christianity is a daily thing as a child of God. And when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you say you want to share the love of God to people. People are lost, man. I mean, they're really lost. They really are. And like I told you last time I was here, one of the greatest mission fields I go into is Walmart Shopping Center. I have people from all different countries in there. I tell you, it's just wonderful to share the good news. But I want you to turn your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Jude for just a moment. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses out of the book of Jude. It's a great book. Jude is a book of the apostate age, the Laodicean age, the people's rights. Everybody got their rights today, don't they? And we see that more and more than ever before. But Jude is writing this book for us to edify the body of Christ. And he wants us to look at these things. Let's start with verse 20. And we're going to read down through verse 23 for just a moment. Then I'm going to share some things with y'all here in God's Word. It says, "Ye beloved, build up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. And some have compassion, making a difference." And then it says, "Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh." And today I'm going to share with you about how to win people to the Lord. And there's two things that's very important in these verses we read to you this morning. The first thing it says, and beloved, when you ever hear that word beloved, he's talking about the child of God. You're beloved. You're a child of God. And then it says, building up yourself on your most holy faith. Now let me just ask you a question. How do you get faith?
Through faith.
Huh? Through faith. Through faith, all right. What's another way we get faith? The Word of God, isn't it? It says, faith come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Now, who's the author of faith? Right. Looking to Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. And he wants to make much of the Word of God. And as you go and get God's Word, it will make a difference in your life. It just does. It is outflow. You know, when you get it in, you got to give it out, don't you? And you just can't help it. And so we see here in God's Word, the first thing he wants in this last day that we live in before the rapture of the church, he wants us to look at the Word of God. Get faith. Faith does a lot of things. It pressures you out, doesn't it? It gets you out of your comfort zone, doesn't it? We like to be in our little comfort zone a lot of times, don't we? But he wants to get our comfort zone. But then he says this. Now, this one key is reading God's Word. The second thing is praying in the Holy Ghost, it says, or praying in the Word of God. We need prayer. I heard this say, much prayer, much power, little power, and how true that is. And we need power not from our own self, our own knowledge. We might have a lot of knowledge of the Bible, but we still need that power, don't we? We need that power. And we can't do anything without the Lord. And preaching, teaching, soul winning, singing, playing the piano. We all need the Lord's help to do that. Amen. And that's why he's saying that we need to be in God's Word. When you read God's Word, you can't help but give it out. You know, you want to share it. And then when you pray and say, Lord, lead me to, every time I pray, I ask, Lord, lead me to somebody today that's really in need of the Lord Jesus. And you know, he puts me right there at the right time, at the right place, every time. And I had the opportunity to lead people to the Lord through that. And we need to pray that way, you know, sometimes. You might know who you might run into. You might run into somebody you don't even, well, most of the time I run into people who don't even know me and I don't know them. But we do have I always like to ask people, what you know good today? And boy, they say, oh, I don't know anything good. It's all bad. And I say, let me give you some good news today. And that good news is Jesus. That's the main thing. But he wants to read the Word. He wants us to pray with power from the Holy Spirit of God. And then look what else he says. Keeping yourself in the love of God. Now, how do you keep yourself in the love of God? Well, just mentioned two of them already, haven't we? Read the book, and praying, and sharing, and as it says here in God's Word, keeping the love of God. You got to get in God's Word, and you got to get be around God's people. Amen. You know, it says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as we see the day approaching. Amen. And we need each other. Yes. Why do we need church, you know? Because you want to have that fellowship. You know, it's okay to watch TV, preachers on the TV, but it's not like being in church. Amen. It just makes a difference. It really does. And, you know, you might not know this. People watch you when you leave the driveway on Sunday, what you're going to do. You pull out of a parking lot with a boat motor behind you, and then you're going to go fishing. But you're going out to church, going to church with your Bible in hand, they're going to church today. And you've been a witness. That's what you are. You've been a witness for the Lord. And then he says here in God, as we keep ourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And we got mercy every morning, don't we? Amen. Mercy and his love every morning. It's renewed every day for us. And then here's one thing we all need, and we all need to work on this as well as myself. It says, and some have compassion making a difference. One thing that the world is looking for more than anything in the world, not so much our knowledge of the Bible, but our love for others. Love makes a difference. And you can't serve without loving. You can't give out what you got in without loving. And we need his love to do this. And he's the only one that can do it for us. More love with Jesus, more love would be with people. That's how simple it is. And then it says, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even their garments spotted by the flesh. You know, it's so easy to look at people and look at their life, and their life is a wreck. Life is a wreck. Homeless people all on the streets in Montgomery and stuff like that. And people need the Lord. And we want to look at their outward appearance. We want to see what's going to happen in the inward appearance in their life. You know? So that's very important in our life as we see the day approaching, Jesus coming soon. We know it's mentioned over 318 times in the New Testament. We got to share it. Wherever you might be, it may be at work, it might be at the grocery store, it might be in the doctor's office, it might be a next door neighbor, whoever it might be, or a filling station. There's always an opportunity to talk to people about the Lord. And so I just want to share that with you. And now I want to turn over to Romans. We're going to go through the plan of salvation. And I'd just like to give you some things. You know, we have the plan of salvation. And I'm not saying we got maybe 8 or 7 steps of salvation, plan of salvation. But sometimes we don't use all of them, but we can use some of them. And the main thing is that you know how to talk to people about the Lord. And one thing I've told you before, when I was coming up and when I was a little fellow, they gave me a part in Sunday school, I wouldn't show up. I was so shy. I wouldn't show up. But, you know, the Lord gives you boldness that you don't have in yourself. He does. He does. He gives you love. First of all, he gives you love to go to that person and talk to him about the Lord. And I talked to a Muslim guy the other day. He had one of these hats on, had a Muslim thing on top of his head. And I said, well, what do you know good today? He said, I don't know a thing. I said, let me tell you some good news today, that Jesus loves you, he died for you, and he wants you to be saved. He just looked at me kind of, but I said, the Lord will make a difference in your life. And he really does. But I'd like to just share some things. I remember, I don't know if you know who the man, he's a preacher, famous preacher, Dr. R.G. Lee. I don't know if you ever heard of that name before or not. I read his biography. And he told me this in the biography he was reading. He said every time he'd go to a revival meeting, the preacher always take him to the hardest person to reach. And he said he was going to this farmer, and he drove up to this farmer's house there in their suits and everything, and they're getting out of the car, and he had an old shotgun on the front porch. And he said, I know y'all preachers. I have nothing to do with preachers. Y'all just get back in your car and go out. And old Dr. R.G. Lee, he just spoke as well, you want to go to hell and fry like bacon, go right ahead. So that night when they had the revival service, he's the first one in the church. And they sing the first song, and that man came down forward, and he said, I want to get saved right now. I don't want to put it off any longer. He said, what made you come to know the Lord? He said, you know, my wife cooking breakfast the next morning, cooking bacon. I saw myself in that frying pan. And that man got saved, tremendously saved, you know. And sometimes you got to be blunt. Sometimes you got to back off and show love, you know. But here's some steps I want to share with you. Let's all turn our Bibles to Romans. In fact, I'm going to be preaching out of Romans today. And Romans is a great chapter, a great book to read. And I like for us to look at some things and presenting the plan of salvation. And I think the first thing we need to always present is most important. You got to get them lost before you can get them saved. And that's the first step in getting. And I know y'all know all this verse. And here's one. The fact of sin is, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Also, over in Psalm 51, it said, David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. We're born sin. It's not what we do that makes us sin. It's what we are. We're all sinners. So the first point you always got to point to people in presenting the gospel, that they are sinners. In Romans chapter 3, look at verse 23. I know y'all know this verse, but let's look at it anyway. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I have a good friend. He's a missionary down in Suriname, South America. Works with the Wayona Trio Indians. And in fact, he gave me a whole set of Indian bows and arrows. And they're about that tall. They're not little short arrows. They're real long ones. And while they have long ones, they can find them when they shoot or miss. But the Indians will take their bows and they aim at a target, and well, they hit it most of the time. But when they take their eyes off the target and let it go and they miss, that's what it's saying. We have missed the mark of God's standard. That's what it's really saying. And it also says in this chapter in verse 10, it says, as is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. That's a simple fact that it is, that the fact of sin, that we all are sinners. We all need to be saved. And the second thing I want to look at Romans chapter 6 in verse 23. Romans chapter 6, 23, I like this verse. The penalty of sin. The penalty of sin, it says, for the wages of sin is death. And the soul that sinned shall surely die. And death working in all of us. We're all going to die. And so we see that's the penalty of sin. Death. Separation from God. Not only from God, from your family and everybody. And people think that, well, they don't have to obey that, but they can't get saved unless they do. You know, they got to realize. And then it says in Hebrews 9:27, the appointed man wants to die after that is what? The judgment. One day you got to stand before God. You got to give account. All the things you've done in your life, and you don't want to be doing that, I guarantee you. That is no picnic. And then we go to number three, the penalty paid by Christ. And I like this verse, Romans 5:8. Y'all probably all know this by heart. It's a great verse. It says, but God commandeth his love toward us, that while we're yet sinners, Christ did what? What did he do? He died for us. And that is just so wonderful that he did it all, you know. The Lord Jesus, he died for our sins. And I'm thankful that he did die for our sins. And I know y'all all know John 3:16, a great verse to read. And probably all of y'all can quote that. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believe in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. And how we can be thankful that God is a God of giving. He gave his only begotten Son. So I always use that a lot of times. Sometimes I kind of alternate the two. Sometimes I use both of them. It just depends. Like I said, it's how the Holy Spirit is working in your life and talking to that person about the Lord. Sometimes you don't use this whole plan, but you know the plan. That's the most important thing. Then we go to another one that I like to give to you. You know, a lot of people think there are many ways to heaven. They really do. You'd be surprised how many people think, oh, All religions lead in the same way, you know, but it's not. Jesus made it very clear, and I like this verse. It's a powerful verse, and they don't like this verse. The world don't like it too much. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am not a way or many ways, but he said, I am what?
The way,
the truth, the life, and no man come to the Father but by me. The only way we can get to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way.
That's right.
And we got to give that out. That's very important. Because we got a lot of easy believism today. Man, it's just all out there. And I've talked to people, they say that they are saved, but their lifestyle is so way out there, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It really is. But there is only one way to the Lord Jesus, to Jesus, and that's through the Lord himself. And then we see here, the next one is so important. Let's turn to Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Ephesians, that's a good book, Ephesians. That's one of my favorite books in the New Testament. Let me just share this with you. In Ephesians 2, 8, 9, we all know this verse, but it says this, for by grace are you saved through faith, for by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourself, it is a gift of God. All right, remember, salvation is a gift. You can't buy it, you can't work for it, and you can't earn it. It's just what it is. It's a gift from God. Amen. Remember, God's grace is unconditional. There it is right there on the wall there. I got a good point over here. God's grace is unconditioned. God's grace is unlimited. And God's grace is unending. And it's just amazing how the grace of God comes in and deals with a person. They see all these things And then look at the next thing. Here's what a lot of people depends on, works to get them to heaven. And I know all your cults, they believe in works. Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness. We go right down the list. All these things are, it's works, performance. It's performance. But it says, not of works as any man should boast. So this is God's gift to us, his salvation. And it's free. People can't, it kind of blows some people away. They say, you mean that's all I got to do? You know? That's all you got to do, accept it by faith. That's what he wants out of our life more than anything. And then another one I'd like to give to you this morning is Revelation chapter 3. It's the last book of the Bible. If you're having trouble finding it. In chapter 3, in verse 20. And I like this one thing. It was one verse here. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. So we hear all this. We hear the plan of salvation that we're lost. God loves us. He tells us a way to heaven. By grace we're saved. But only you can open that door. Now, I've been to Guatemala 3 times, and when you go down there, they don't have doorknobs on the outside of the door. They got barbed wire on top of their house. They got dogs on top of their house with people breaking in, trying to steal from them. And the only one that's going to open that door is the person on the inside. You can't go in by twisting the handle. And that's the way it is with us. You know, our heart, we got to open it up. That's what I tell them. I say, I can't force the Lord in on you. I wouldn't do it anyway. You got to want to be saved in order to be saved. Amen. And when the Lord knocks on that heart's door, and you know, I tell them also, you know, Lord don't always deal with men all the time. You know, they keep holding their heart and keep turning their back upon God. God says his spirit will not always strive with man. And I said, when he's knocking at your heart's door, as it says here in Revelation, he's standing at the door and knocks. And he really wants to come in. He really wants to save you. He really wants to change your life. And when we do that, he will come in. He says he will. It says, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Isn't that wonderful to know that here the Son of God can come into our life through the Holy Spirit of God and live there for all eternity? It blows your mind away, doesn't it? But you know what it is? What it shows me? His love for us. He shows us his love. Is anybody too hard to save? No. There's nobody too hard to save. The Lord can save anybody. I'll tell you an experience we had one time when I was in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We had Gospel Balloon Sunday. And what we did, we took some gospel tracts and each person put their name on it and we had the name of the church and we prayed over it, went out in the front of the church and we prayed and asked the Lord, take these balloons to people that need it. And boy, here these balloons all go. They went all the way up to Connecticut. All the way up there. And here's a farmer out on his tractor, riding the tractor. He sees this balloon comes down. It has a great gospel message with it. And he reads that gospel message, and he gets saved right there on the tractor. Amen. He wrote to us, and boy, that was a thrill, you know. And then there's a guy coming out of the woods that had been hunting. Here comes a balloon down. And he gets that track, and he reads it. And he gets saved right there, right at the woods. Right before you get out of the woods. So his word will not return to him void. You just remember that. It won't. And so the Lord has different means to reach different people. You know that? Different ways. And the main thing is through the word. That's what got to be happening in people's life. So we see the Christ at the heart's door. And then the next step that's the very most important step that we have. How can he save us now? What do we have to do? Turn me to Romans chapter 10. I love Romans chapter 10. It's one to tell you how to. It's one of these how to things that you can do now. How you can get saved. In Romans chapter 10, we're going to start with verse 9, and we're going to read verse 10, and then we're going to read verse 13, okay? And this is what it says. That if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, what will happen? Thou shalt be saved. Not might be saved, or maybe be saved, but you will be saved. And then it says, for with the heart, notice every time, it's with the heart. It's with the heart. Remember Jesus at the heart's door knocking? It's here, it's with the mouth and the heart. But he says, the verse 10, it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And we got to confess with our mouth. You know, you got to ask. I always tell people, I can't be saved for you. You got to be saved for yourself. Don't get saved for your wife. Don't get saved for your mom. Get saved for yourself. You got to do that. And look what he says here in this verse. Verse 13. All right. That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this one thing that I tell them. When they ask Christ to be the Savior, it's not the prayer that saves us. It's our faith in Christ that saves us. As we look to him, we look that we know we're a sinner. We know we need to get saved. We need to ask Christ to save us. But remember, it's not the prayer. He wants us to pray, but it's not the prayer that saves us. It's our faith in Christ that saves us. And but you got to confess with your mouth. You got to believe. It's not hope, maybe. Lord, you might save me. No, it's not any of that. I want to be saved. I want Jesus to come into my life and make me a new person. So we see that. That's very important that that person confess with his mouth or her mouth and ask Christ to be their Savior. And I tell you, I don't know about y'all, every time I hear somebody praise, I like I'm getting saved all over myself, you know. I just rejoice. And you know, the Bible says when a person does that, in Luke chapter 10, it says the angels in heaven rejoice over one soul. That's your spiritual birthday today, man. Amen. That's your spiritual birthday. They had a birthday party for you. You know what Jesus is doing? He's writing your name in the Lamb's Book of Life right now. You got a new name. When you get to heaven, you'll have a new name. Now, This is something else I'll try to follow up on. Turn with me to 1 John, please. What time is Sunday school? I don't know. Somebody just hold their hand up. What time Sunday school is over, I'll stop, okay? But I like 1 John chapter 5. We're going to start with verse 11. And this, I'll try to encourage them to go on with the Lord. And it says, and this is the record. Your name is being recorded right today in heaven. That God has given to us what? Eternal life. And it says here in this verse, and this life is in the church. Is that what it says?
No.
I just want to see if y'all awake or not. I didn't know y'all. It's not in the church, is it? It's not even in baptism, is it? It has nothing to do with salvation. It's our identification with Christ that we are saved, and I want to live for him. That's what it's really saying. But he says here in this verse, life in his son, we have a life. In John 10, verse 10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it what?
More abundant.
Not when you get to heaven, right now. Right now. He wants you to have it right now. So we have life in his son. And here it is. He that hath the son hath what? Life. And he that hath not the son of God hath not life. It's one or the other. You have the son, you've got eternal life. You don't have the son, you don't have life. And then I like to read verse 13. Verse 13 says this. These things I have written unto you that believe, rely, trust. That's what it really means. That word believe means trust, rely completely on Jesus. Nobody else. Nothing, anything. No rituals or anything. But it says, believe on the name of the Son of God that you may what?
Know.
You know that word know in 1 John is mentioned 39 times? Is that important to know what you did? It sure is, isn't it? And it says here in God's word that you may have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Well, that don't make your socks go up and down. Nothing will it? But knowing that Jesus did it all, you know, he did the whole thing. And the transformation of a life. Now, go to 2 Corinthians. I know y'all probably know this verse, probably quoted it quite. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. I like this verse. And this is how you can tell the difference. Like the old farmer, he got saved. He went out the next day. He was singing gospel hymns. And he got behind that old mule and started going. And that mule would not go. And that mule just turned around and said, I have a new master behind me today. And that's the way it should be, shouldn't it? People should know that you love Jesus because you've got a changed life. You have hope. You have hope. And that hope is in the Lord. Look at verse 17. I like this one. And it says here, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. You got a new life. You got a changed life. And it does make a difference in all the things we do as God's people. And then if we are changed, you can't help but be quiet about it. You're going to tell somebody about it. Look at verse, go down to verse 20. It says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. We are thoroughly changed. We really are. I'm going to be his ambassador now. Wherever you might be, right here in this community, right wherever you travel, you're going to be his ambassador. And I'm glad that he planned it all for us. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. I'm going to sing a little chorus. And y'all know this chorus. Y'all can sing along with me, okay? I know y'all know this one. And then, if any of y'all got any testimony just for a few minutes, give a word of testimony. It's Thanksgiving time. We need to give some testimony. Don't be ashamed to give a testimony. But here's a little chorus I learned when I was a teenager. And it goes like this. I know y'all know this. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. And all the people said what?
Amen.
Man, I love to hear church people say amen. We should say amen anyway. But anybody got another testimony they'd like to share? Don't get silence on me now. Anybody got something maybe the Lord done this week for y'all? Maybe your family? Yeah, go right ahead. Okay.
And we kind of got an answer yesterday that filled our soul. We just got a phone call out of the blue, and I had just mentioned something to her the night before that I thought might need to happen.
Uh-huh.
Well, half of it didn't happen because it went a different route, but it still happened.
Well, good.
And anyway, we're just praising the Lord for it. It's only He that done it.
Yes. Okay.
You
know, when the Lord does something special in your life or your family life you've been praying about, don't keep it quiet. We need the encouragement to know that God is working in people's lives, you know, and God does answer prayer. And it's just amazing how the Lord just works. And I've been going, I'll tell you, I have a praise. I've been going to this lady. She has, this is a dog about, it's up to my knee. Pretty frisky little dog. And every time I come in there, the dog hair gets on his back. I'm afraid it's going to bite me. But this is the first time I've been reading the scripture and been singing to her. This lady's got cancer really bad. She got cancer real bad. And she knows the Lord as a Savior. But she said, that dog came and laid beside me on the couch, right beside my leg, and put his paw on my leg. She said, that has never happened. Every man comes to my side, he's barking the whole time. And I was reading the Bible to her and to the dog, too. And he just got calm. It's amazing how the Lord does things. You know, it might be just little things. Anybody else got a testimony? Maybe the Lord just does something special.
I have to praise the Lord this morning. Brother, who is nearly 80 years old, had to have open heart surgery and 4 bypasses. And I really had to commit that to the Lord and ask the Lord to take the concern, the fear for him, that he wouldn't make it through, you know, take that away from me and help me to trust him more. But my brother knows the Lord, and he was really confident that the Lord was going to be with him through this surgery and bring him through in a wonderful way. And he did. God answered prayer in a wonderful way. The people, my brother was telling the surgeon, you're being prayed for before he even did the surgery. You're being prayed for. And God's going to use you to work a miracle in my life. And as he went through the surgery, it went really well. And in ICU, the people there who were caring for him were just impressed with how well he was responding and recovering. They couldn't get over it. And he just went to see the surgeon this last Friday. And the surgeon said, you're so unusual. You're recovering so remarkably. And my brother was able to testify to him. It's answered a prayer. God has answered prayer in my life. So I want to thank the Lord for that. And I don't want to keep talking, but I just really felt like I needed to share this since Ron was sharing about witnessing today and us being a witness. We've talked about it at home, how God uses us, you know, sometimes just to plant a word. Some plant, some water, but God brings the increase. And I'm here today loving the Lord and serving Him because of what many, many years ago a young woman did at an amusement park. She was handing out, she and a friend were there handing out small tracts, not anything big, but a gospel tract telling of the need of being saved and how to be saved. My dad was so drunk, he was sick, just drunk as he could be. And this young woman said, here is something that you need. When you get sober, read it. She put it in his pocket of his coat. He didn't read it that day, and it was several days later. He was out, and he went to get something out of his pocket, and he pulled this tract out, and he read it. And the Spirit of God just brought great, great conviction upon his heart about his need to be saved. And then it was some time later, through a severe heart attack that was, and he was only 28 years old, was taking his life. He was going to die. The doctor said there was no hope for him. But God had other plans, and he touched him and healed him and brought him back. And his life was radically changed. And because of that change and his great love for the Lord and his desire to raise his family to love the Lord, I'm here today to tell you God can make a difference in just mm-hmm. the small thing that you mm-hmm. do. It's not that you have to feel like I've got to win this person today. No, it's what God can use, what you do in his name, he'll use.
You know, another thing about witnessing also, like my wife said, you plant, water, God brings an increase. You might not ever know it sometime. When I was down in Mobile, I was a social pastor. I would go and visit people in the hospital. And this man was lost. He knew he was lost. I went through the whole plan of salvation. But he never accepted Christ. And just about maybe 5 years ago, I ran to an associate down there. And he said, you know, such and such, this man had told me that he accepted Christ by you. And he didn't do it the day that you were there, but he did it later. And he told me that he knows he's born again into the family of God. So you never know when you plant in water. Don't go away defeated. You did your part. You know, you did your part. And you just never know. It's quarter till. Is this time over for Sunday school? Well, let's sing one more song. I want to teach you this song. I like this song. It's taken from Ephesians 3:20. It says, now that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that work in us. And I just want to take the phrase, he's able, okay? He's able to make you a soul winner that you're not. And when you get in God's word and get in love with Jesus, you can't keep it in all the time. You got to give it out. But it goes like this. He's able, he's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He hears the broken heartache and he sets the captive free. He made the lame to walk again and he calls the blind to see. Oh yes, he's able, he's able. Praise God, he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. And he's the one. I'll tell you one more story. Everybody know who Billy Sunday is. Have you ever heard that name before? He was an evangelist. And one Sunday, he was going down the street in Chicago, and this guy was drunk, and he was falling down and getting back up. He said, Billy Sunday, Billy Sunday. He said, who are you? And he said, I'm one of your converts. He said, brother, you're right. You're one of mine. You're sure not one of the Lord's. I'll close with that, okay? God bless you. Nobody fell asleep on me. That's always a good sign.